This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
St. Clare of Assisi.
I tell you, Ortolano, Francis Bernardone is mad. Come to the window.
Oh, Favarone, close the window. It's cold.
Yes, my wife, it's cold. I want you to feel it. Then look at the square. What do you see?
Why, it's Francis and his friars.
Barefoot. Laughing and singing like lunatics. Look at their rags. Look at the strand of rope tied around them. Nary a crust of bread among the lot. And yet they laugh and sing like carefree youths of Assisi. If that's not madness, what is it?
They're but happy, Favarone, not mad.
Happy about what? Because they take off their shoes and dress in rags and starve?
Yes, I believe that's it. Their guiding light is one whom Brother Francis called his Lady Poverty.
It seems you know too much about this man and his cult. Ah, your sister Bona. She's been seeing him, I hear.
Yes, she's told me a great deal about him and his brothers.
Ortolana, I don't like it. Bona's got a lot of foolish notions about religion. I'd rather she not see so much of Claire.
Surely my sister wouldn't do a thing to...
She's not a good influence. Claire's young and impressionable. Well, that's another thing I wanted to talk to you about. Her behavior in church this morning.
You mean the bishop coming to her?
Sitting there daydreaming while the other girls went to the bishop for their palm leaves. Sitting there until the bishop himself left his place and carried the palm leaf to her. I was ashamed. All eyes were on her, and people remarked about it as they left the church. The idea that the bishop should carry a palm leaf to a mere child. Ortolana, I think we'd better talk to Claire.
Now?
Yes. Where is she?
In the music room with Agnes.
Come then. Let's go and...
Please, Favarone, be gentle with her. It's only that she's young and thinking of marriage.
Claire, how beautifully you play. But how far away it seems, as if you were playing music from another world.
Does it sound as sweet as that, Agnes?
Is it because you're in love? Papa says you are. And that's why you're so dreamy these days. He says you...
Yes, Agnes. I am in love.
Oh, Claire, with whom? Which will it be? Bernard, Sylvester, Roberto, or maybe...
No. No, none of them. Agnes, can you keep a secret?
Oh, of course. Tell me.
This yearning in my soul goes beyond the love of any man.
I know you mean to be a nun.
Agnes, can you understand that, too?
Yes, I've felt it for a long time. I feel it as I watch your face light up. Your voice grow soft. Whenever we talk and mention the name of Francis Bernardone... You seem then...
Even as your face lights up and your own voice lures with reverence. Oh, Agnes, has the sight of him awakened something in the very depth of you and given you such faith that you would willingly give up everything to follow him?
Yes. Yes, I know what you mean. Even though some call him mad, I still
would... If Francis Bernardone is mad, then madness is divine. I heard him laughing in the sunlight after Mass on Sunday, and for the happiness that shines from beneath his rags, I'd exchange every thread of silk and satin, every jewel I own. Agnes, there's more I must tell you.
His father and...
Claire, your mother and I wish to talk to you.
Then I'll go and...
You may stay, Agnes. I want you both to hear.
Your father's concerned about this morning. The bishop...
That's only part of it. And now it's happened, there's nothing to be done. I'm more concerned with this Francis and his mad friars who are starting Assisi with their strange cult.
But all Assisi listen to him as they've listened to no other man.
Making a fetish of poverty to attract attention.
Oh, Father, you're unfair to him.
Time will decide that. Meanwhile, I want my daughters to stay indoors and not mingle with the crowds about these friars. They'll either have to change their ways or be driven out of Assisi as fools.
Oh, surely they'll not drive him out again. When he speaks so joyfully of God. And the people do listen to him, Father.
Let me tell you something. Men who wear shoes and clean garments aren't lacking in holiness. Poverty is not a sign of reverence. It's no disgrace to be wealthy either. But to end this, Claire, I wish you within the week to indicate your preference.
Preference, Favarone? What do you mean?
As to which young man she will marry. It's not right to put them off.
Oh, Father, a week. The time's so short.
Indeed, it's not. You'll soon be 18. Half a dozen fathers have asked me to arrange a match. I've delayed, hoping you would help me to make a choice. Ortolana, it's time Claire made up her mind.
I suppose so. I was married when I was 16, and...
Then it's settled. You have 1 week, Claire.
But, Father...
That's all I have to say. Come, Ortolana. We must let her think about this alone.
Claire, what are you going to do? Father's determined.
I can't marry. It would be wrong to the man and to...
You were about to tell me a secret when Father interrupted.
I've seen Francis Bernardone.
Oh, Claire, not really. When? How did you manage to?
Aunt Bona took me, but at my request.
You faced him, actually spoken to him? Claire, how wonderful.
I sought him out a dozen times and talked for many hours. His great love of God has increased my courage so intensely that now I...
Please go on.
The fire of his courage has burned away any hesitation I might have had. And now I know my destiny is beyond all dreaming, as simple as his own.
Surely you don't mean walking Assisi's streets as does Francis and his friars, barefoot, singing and laughing. Oh, what will Father and Mother say?
I don't think of that. All I think of is the urge within my soul that drives me on to seek oneness that is Francis Bernardone's.
Claire, I've guessed at things he said about poverty and giving utterly of oneself, but to be practical, I see no place for women in Francis's plan to give God back to his world.
Nor do I at this moment. All I ask is that he find some tiny place for me in the endless acres of God's garden and plant me there. Oh, let me tell you more of Brother Francis.
Oh, yes. Yes, do so quickly.
So much in what he says is symbolical. His simple habit and bare feet are but symbols of the secret wedding of his whole heart to one he calls his lady and his queen.
A lady? A queen?
He calls her Lady Poverty. I'd like to know her.
Oh, but isn't Father right, too, when he speaks of wealthy suitors? Can't you have a husband and, well, Lady Poverty? After all, there is...
Oh, how shall I tell you, Agnes, what's in my heart. Since knowing Francis, my love's grown so great it can encircle the earth. God owns me entirely, but 'tis a love that can't be shared with any man. I know my words sound paradoxical, to love all mankind and yet not the one man. I'll try again. It's like that clock on the wall, measuring the time in minutes. But when one's lost to infinity, the moment has no meaning.
The week will end and you must obey Father.
Leave me now, and I'll pray for guidance.
Claire, I want to be with you. Please, whatever comes of your prayer, you'll tell me.
Yes, Agnes, I'll tell you. My Lord Christ, who suffers on the cross, give me one glimpse of Brother Francis, Lady Poverty, that I too may give myself utterly to her. If it be thy will, give me to see the face of Poverty.
Claire, Claire, Claire.
God speed you, lady. You call my name. I see a stranger who knows my name. My heart tells me who you are, but still I ask to reassure my heart.
I'm a queen whose throne has been usurped by arch pretenders. Caution and greed have driven me out of the palaces of the world. I walk in exile, and few have eyes for me. But listen well. Once a man has looked into my eyes, he never sings earth's sad song of greed again.
And Francis Bernardone has.
He saw me long ago. I am his mystic bride, sharing his sorrows, hidden in the glory of his mirth and song.
You stand in the shadow. May I come closer and look into your eyes?
Yes. Look deeply. I've come to you, Lady of the Golden Hair, to dance you to the highest heaven of God's love.
Guide me. I shall follow.
You shall shed earth's desires. Neither think, nor wish, nor even will. You will shed earth's cares as useless garments. You shall be free. Free as the poor in spirit whose legacy is the kingdom of heaven.
So loud. Perhaps I should go back.
Don't stumble. Take my hand. Only a few more steps to the door. I'll hold the lantern higher. Oh, your hand is trembling. Courage. There's nothing to fear.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know I have faith in you. I just don't have your will and courage.
Not so. You have faith indeed and courage.
Oh, we wake the dead.
Close it gently.
Oh, Claire, where are we going?
We go to meet Brother Francis and his friars. They wait for me at St. Mary of the Angels.
Claire?
Think of it.
Oh, but why? What are his plans?
I don't know. It's enough he calls and waits.
The Lady Poverty really spoke to you?
Yes. And told me to shed the rich garments of the earth and put on rags and... What is it, Agnes?
Oh, and your newest gown. And the jewels Mother gave you for your wedding day. Oh, Claire, I don't understand.
Come. He's waiting. You will understand when I kneel before Brother Francis
and pledge my troth that makes me one in spirit with him and with Christ.
Giles, Bernard, Rufino, you will stand to my right, the others to my left. I see the lanterns moving down the lane. Hold your torches higher. Christian woman, what do you seek of us?
I kneel before you and beg in Jesus' name your leave to join you and your devotion to Lady Poverty.
Will you then trade these jewels and silks for a robe as rough as ours, and walk to meet my Lady Poverty with unslippered feet?
I wore this finery that my Savior might see that my only thought is to spurn it for his blessed name.
Because this Christian woman has no other desire but she be allowed to walk our way of peace and penance, I summon upon her the spirit of light and love. In creator spiritus. Behold, my lord, how this virgin desires to put aside the ornaments of a woman and shear her crown of hair and wear instead a veil to signify her heart is thine alone.
Oh, all her beautiful golden hair.
Listen now, our sister, to the pledge the royal master gives to remember all your life. The Lord himself is my bright legacy's portion, and he himself the filling of my cup. The Lord, my faithful lover, surely one day will my inheritance restore to me.
The Lord, my faithful lover, surely one day will my inheritance restore to me.
Come now, spouse of Christ. Receive that bright crown he has woven out of his infinite love for thee to wear unto everlasting glory.
Here are my jewels and my cloak, Agnes. Return them to Mother. I am ready.
Preserve this robe of poverty I place about your shoulders. The pledge of your betrothal to a prince richer than any lord of earth. The pledge never to plight a troth with earth again. Now put off the sandals, that you may run more swiftly down penance road into the everlasting arms of Christ our Lord.
These are for you, Agnes, until such time as you may wish to spurn them as I do now.
I place upon your forehead now this black veil, the crown of his infinite love, for thee to wear unto everlasting glory.
My Lord has decked my soul with golden cloth. My Lord has covered me with jewels of his love.
Rise, O bride of Christ. And let your light shine down the dark highways of the world.
Thus Clare Sheffy became the first spiritual daughter of St. Francis and the foundress of his second order, the Poor Clare Nuns. As he had made no provision in his order for women, St. Francis placed Clare in a Benedictine convent until he could build a convent for her at San Damiano on the outskirts of Assisi. Soon she was joined by her sister Agnes and other women who were drawn to the new order of Franciscans by Clare's humble and devout personality. Count Sheffy was enraged when he learned what Clare had done. He searched until he found her and tried to force her to return to his home and marry as he had planned.
Dismount.
Wait for me here.
Claire! Clary! It's Father and Mother. They've come to take us away.
Have no fear, Agnes. When Father sees how
you see him?
Of course.
I am come, Chaffee. Where's my daughter?
Go to your cell, Agnes. I'll talk to Father alone.
No, no, he'll drag you away.
Do as I say, Sister Agnes.
Oh, yes, Reverend Mother.
The devil with your rules. I'm her father, and I'll find her myself if you don't take me to her.
You may come in, Count Chaffee. I'm Mother Superior of the Poor Clare Nuns. Permit me to welcome you to San Damiano.
What? Count? Is this the way to greet your father?
Claire! Claire! No, no, Paparone. Let me talk to her first. Please leave us.
Look at her. Burlap for a gown. Her feet bare. And a black veil to hide her shame.
I wear my garment in humility, but not in shame.
Take off those rags. You're going home with us.
This is my home.
You defy me, your father?
Please, please listen to me.
Take off that mourning veil. You'll come home and marry the man I've picked for you.
Impossible. I took holy wedding vows a year ago at St. Mary of the Angels.
What's she talking about? Ortolana, do you know?
I think I do. I became the bride of Christ.
Oh, that nonsense. Come off with that veil. Ortolana, strip her of those rags and cover her with your cloak.
Don't touch my veil. It's sacred cloth.
We'll see. Good heavens, look at her. Her hair's cropped. If I could get my hand on the one who did this, I'd break every bone in his body.
Please, Favarone. You're standing before God's altar.
Claire, my daughter. You're but a child. And I forgive you this. You fell under the spell of that mad friar. You didn't know what you were doing.
How you wronged me and him. I sought out Brother Francis. On bended knees, I begged him to show me the way to God. I shed my golden sandals and silk cloak for this, and prayed that favor from him.
Why in the name of heaven must this come to me? A man builds a castle. He stores up riches, not for himself, but for his children. And they toss it aside to walk barefoot in the dust.
Go home, please. There's nothing you can do or say. I'm bound here with vows so sacred it would be a sacrilege to even speak of breaking them.
I can do something. You'll return even though I drag you. Come, we're going.
No. No,
please, please, please. Claire.
It'll do you no good to cling to that cross. Let go, I say.
This is my life. You can't tear me away.
Help me, Ortolana. She has the strength of madness.
Stop it. Stop it, let her be.
What's that? You take her side in this?
You must listen to me, Favarone. It's come to pass. There's nothing you or I or anyone on earth can do.
What are you talking about?
It happened years ago, when Claire was yet unborn within me. I'd borne the other children, but there was a mystery about this child yet unborn, and I was troubled with fear, but mingled with joy. In desperation, I turned to the cross and prayed to Christ to ease my burden. It was a still, cold night. I heard a voice. It said, even as the angel did to Blessed Mary, fear not, Ortolana. This child shall be a light, illuminating all the world. I dared not speak of this before, but now I know the meaning of those words. Come, Favarone, let's return home and leave Claire to her destiny.
You were upset. A mother with child is always imagining one thing or another.
No, she heard it. It was the voice of Lady Poverty.
Gibberish. Assisi has been overrun by lunatics with Francis Bernardone, the leader. I'll move away. We'll go to the seashore. In time, you'll both forget.
No, dear husband. The soothing waves of the Adriatic will not wash away the memory of what's happened. Claire has heard a call and must obey. To take her from that cross would be her death. You would not have a daughter, but a dead angel in our home.
I can't believe
Look
that...
Look at her. Our child was always beautiful. But have you ever seen a face so happy, so serene? She's no longer a child, but a woman with a will and a purpose.
Don't be angry with me. Let us part in peace. I love you, Father, but I'm beyond your command.
Yes. I see it in your face. Surely with force I could drag you home. But to what purpose?
Please try to understand. Not in the worldly sense of practicality, but in...
I am of the earth. This thing's like a madness with you. And yet the cure would be your death. Come, Ortolana. Let's go.
Do not be bitter, my dear. It had to be this way.
Some mystic voice whistling down the centuries spoke and told you the child was to be a light. And like foolish women who think they bear something holy within them, you listened. And perhaps without knowing it, encouraged her in this madness which she shares with Francis Bernardone.
I did hear the voice saying, "Fear not, Ortolana. This child shall be a light, illuminating all the world."
As the years passed, more and more women joined the order, inspired by St. Francis and founded by St. Clare. She was the purest mirror of his ideals and remains through the centuries a candle to light the world along the path to eternity.